They say collateral terms of possible. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining. This man welcomed sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the floor, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin I lost." I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angel over one sinner who repents. Jesus had been in a house of a Pharisee at eating at a banquet. He left that banquet and was traveling along, and crowds were following him. And he explained about the cost of following him. He turned to the crowd in verse 26 of chapter 14 and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." He was telling them, Jesus has to be the priority in your life. If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to be in right relationship with God, then you can't have anyone else in a higher position of authority. Jesus also said, not only that, even your own life. Your own life is not to be a higher priority. And Jesus then said, an often misunderstood verse, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now you got to remember what it meant to be carrying a cross 2,000 years ago. It's not walking around carrying a burden. And that's how I've often heard people say, such as, you know, "That's just my cross to bear." That's not what it means. It means dying to yourself. Die to yourself by taking up your cross and following Jesus. And then Jesus points out in an example of building a tower, consider the cost. We need to consider the cost of following Jesus and the cost of rejecting Jesus. If we follow Jesus, he has to be in the first place in our life. If we reject Jesus, the cost is going to be forever separated from God in fires of hell. What cost are we willing to pay? Give up our heaven or give up hell? We don't think about the cost of rejecting Jesus. Sometimes we think about the cost of following Jesus. Sometimes my friends will make fun of me. Sometimes things will be difficult. But God has a plan for our guidance to where we will be with him with no more pain, no more sorrow, forever, heaven. And then Jesus gives another parable. Says, what king who has an army and is facing another army won't consider if he can win the battle? If he realizes he cannot win the battle, he will go and try to make peace with the king that he cannot defeat. We, in our sin, are enemies of God. Our sin is putting us in a position of being at war with God. And the only way we can have peace with God is on God's terms. We need to come to God seeking peace. And then Jesus says in verse 33, in the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. Nothing can buy your way into heaven. You get into heaven only through the Christ that God himself paid when he died on the cross for us. And then he talks about salt. Salt has a purpose. But if it doesn't serve its purpose, it's thrown out. Our purpose is to honor and worship God and what God created people. And we don't serve our purpose, we're cast out into the outer darkness from the presence of God, a place we don't want to be. And so now Jesus is eating, speaking with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors, it's not like we view the IRS. Nobody really wants to see an IRS agent. But we don't necessarily view the IRS agent as being a representative of a foreign government. But that's what the tax collectors at the time of Jesus were. They were representatives of the Roman Empire. Jews who had chosen to associate and align themselves with the Romans who had taken over Israel. They were viewed as traitors, outcasts. Jesus was attracting these outcasts to himself. The outcast viewed Jesus' message as important. Where the religious leaders viewed their own message as important. They wanted people to hear what they thought. They weren't coming to Jesus to listen to what he thought. They were coming to Jesus to try to find some way to show that they were better than Jesus. And they said, who is this man? He eats and welcomes sinners. Well, Jesus told them two parables, actually three parables, The first parable is a man that had 100 sheep. Sort of like one of our songs relate to. And one of the sheep became lost, wandered away, something happened to pull it away from the rest of the flock. And what did that owner of the sheep do? He went and searched for that sheep. And when he found the sheep, he brought it back to where it belonged. And he called people together to rejoice with him. We, all like sheep, have gone astray. You turn me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning of verse 10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. all alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. We are all sinners, whether we think we are or not. And God comes looking for us. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus explains why he came. He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Jesus came looking for us. Not that he didn't know where we were, but he came trying to bring us back to where we should be. And it says back in our main passage in verse 15, that they're rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. We're rejoicing over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. But we saw in Romans chapter 3, there's no one righteous, not even one. Well, Jesus is giving the message that he is going to come find us and to bring us back to where we should be. But he doesn't force us. We have a choice to accept or reject his offer, drawing us to repentance. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it tells us, God does not desire that anyone perish, but all come to repentance. And Ezekiel 33:11 says, the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather than repent and live. And it says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Imagine being in heaven and someone that is destined for hell suddenly gives a new destination to heaven. There's rejoicing over that guy. But who is rejoicing in heaven? Well, let's look at the second parable. A woman had 10 coins and she lost one. She searched diligently until she found the one and called all her friends together and said, "Rejoice." Look at verse 10, it says, "I tell you in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angel over one sinner who repents." Turn me for a moment to Revelation chapter 4. Beginning verse 1. "After this I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. The first voice that I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and there was a throne in heaven, and someone was seated on it. The one seated there had the appearance of jasper or Indian stone. A rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald surrounded the throne. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes, with golden crowns on their heads. Flashes of lightning and rumbling and peals of thunder came from the throne. 7 fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Something like a sea of glass, similar to crystal, was also before the throne. 4 living creatures, covered with eyes in front and in back, were around the throne on each side. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like an ox. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Each of the 4 living creatures had 6 wings. They were covered with eyes around and inside. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, who is to come, whenever the living creatures take glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne and say, "Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor, power, because you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Here we see a glimpse into heaven, and the focus is on God. Holy, holy, holy. And the elders on the throne cast their crowns before Jesus. Back to our passage, it says in Luke 15:10, "I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angel over one sinner who repents." It doesn't say that the angels are rejoicing. It says they're the witnesses to the rejoicing. God rejoices when a sinner repents and turns to him, because he's the one, the shepherd that found the lost sheep, the woman that found the lost coin, that calls together all they know and say, "Rejoice." God came to seek us to save us. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, "For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the Lord and the Son of God." God came to part of his creation to bring us repentance and salvation. He sought us when we were not seeking. What are we going to do to the shepherd who is seeking us to come with him? Or the woman with the coin seeking to return it where it belongs? Will we accept or will we reject? The religious leaders at the time of Jesus were rejecting Jesus' offer. Tax collectors and sinners were embracing the offer of God on the cross. Which group are you guys standing in front of? Dear Lord, let us recognize that you are the one who has choice when we repent and turn to you. We have spread away because of our sin and deserve punishment of hell, but you came to rescue us from that. By your death, you have set us free. Let us choose to follow you and tell others how thank you. In that same hope you do, heaven pray.